My microphone just shifted. Hold on. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I wonder if that feels like Groundhog Day today. Did you just hear that gospel before a few weeks ago, right? Matthew's version. Well, while today's collect sets the appropriate, reverential, even penitential tone for our meditating upon God's word this morning, and while you may have noticed the palette change at the table in our vestments from Pentecost green to purple, signaling a change in liturgical seasons. And if you were here before the processional, you noticed we lit the hope candle on a wreath. You may yet be surprised, unprepared, not ready for this new liturgical season. Advent? Here already? Not yet, please. I'm still basking in the gratitude of Thanksgiving and all the preparations that I got underway this weekend for Christmas. Already and not yet, preparation are just some of the ideas percolating in today's readings that turns our attention to the end of the story, skipping over the beginning for a few weeks to meditate on the second coming of Christ and keeping alert to his coming. But I find no matter how many years I anticipate Advent, I still need to be reminded that this season is not about preparing for Christmas, but about preparing and staying alert to the truth that Jesus will come again, and to wonder not about when, but about what Jesus's coming again means to me, how it informs me and transforms my life, asking me, am I awake to that reality, like all the time? Am I prepared in such a way that I see the signs of God's presence? Even in the darkness of the Advent season, am I awake and alert enough to see Jesus alive in me and in others? Or am I sleepwalking through my days, just waiting for Christmas to get here? These are all questions that emerge out of the gospel readings we'll hear over the next four Sundays, beginning with today's, which holds this before us, this truth about the cosmic shift that is coming, always coming, and landing in our present reality and asking, are you awake? Over the Thanksgiving holiday, my daughter and son-in-law hosted the most perfect Thanksgiving. Our entire Biersch family gathered around the table, paid homage to my dear mom. But as copacetic as it was, later in the evening, and truth be told, after a few cocktails, the barriers to the politics and religion conversations toppled, and I found myself pretty agitated by an encounter I had with a few of the young people who were outdoors gathered and scrolling through TikTok feeds, and that prompted this conversation. Truly, I can't recall specifically what we debated, but boy, did we debate. And I was pretty wound up late into the night. I couldn't get it off of my mind. As soon as my husband and I were back at our hotel, I told him what happened, and I said something to the effect, you know, that's not how it was when we were kids. Our Thanksgiving debates weren't like that. They were civil. We didn't debate things that way, let alone think that way. That just wouldn't have happened. As I listened to myself talk, I started thinking, oh my gosh, did you really just say that? Are you living in a time and place that's more than 60 years old? Is that the way you've begun to think, Lisa? If you're laughing at it because you know what I'm talking about, you've done this too. We probably all have at Thanksgiving dinners and tables, or even perhaps perched in front of a screen watching the news all alone, talking to ourselves. I'm not the first or only to make that kind of comment. I hear them over and over. We didn't do it that way when we were kids. This isn't the America I remember. It's not like it used to be. The world is a different place these days. It's changed. This isn't the church I grew up in. I don't know how or what happened to that church back in my day. This isn't the life I had planned and worked for. You could add your own version. There are 1,000 variations on this theme, and they all seem to me to have a common thread or question running through them. And here's the question. What is going on in our world today? What's happening? It's a question about vulnerability and loss. It's a question about our anxiety and fear. It's a question about the uncertainty of our future and the unpredictable nature of life. It's a question about loss and sorrow. These aren't just about the circumstances around us. They are spiritual conditions that live within us. Those questions and conditions I just listed aren't new. They're not unique to us or this time or this place. They're just as real and present in Jesus' time as our own. Jesus describes it differently than we do. He says, "In those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." The Reverend Michael Marsh writes in his commentary on his passage, "Don't take this as literal. He's not predicting the future or giving us signs to look for so that we can predict the future. He's describing a present reality. Jesus is describing what it feels like when the whole world has changed, when things are no longer as they used to be, when there's a cosmic shift in your life. Jesus is describing what it's like when what used to give light and illumine your life no longer does, when the stars by which you once navigated no longer point the way, when the powers on which you depended are no longer stable or dependable." Every one of you, I suspect, could describe a time in your life when you've experienced these kinds of cosmic shifts. Maybe you're experiencing one today. And what I've just described are what I know as Advent experiences, Advent descriptions, and Advent questions. Every year on the first Sunday of Advent, the lectionary holds this before us because it's a truth about our life and the world. It's what we face and live with. It is also the life in the world into which the Son of Man comes. The truth is always our entrance, our doorway into Advent. In those dark threshold moments when our world is shaken, we mostly want someone to do something about it, fix it, turn back the clock, undo what has happened, make it like it used to be. Get me out of here. Just do something. That's what we hear Isaiah saying to God. "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, God. Get down here, quick. Do something about this." Who among us here today hasn't said something like that? The Reverend Marsh describes this as the "be present" prayer. "Oh God, be present with," and then we fill in the blank with the names of all the people we think God needs to be present with and do something for. "Oh God, be present in," and then we fill in the blank with this meeting or this place or those circumstances so that God can show up and do what needs to be done. I myself have always pushed back a bit from the "be present" prayer, though I know them to be sincere, but I come from a different corner in the room that believes God is always present, and starting out with "be present" sort of assumes that God is absent, as if God needs to be told what is going on in the world, where to be and what to do. Maybe instead of being concerned with where God is and what God is doing, we ought to first be concerned about where we are and what we are doing, about our presence in the situation. Maybe instead of starting with what's going on in the world, we ought to begin with the question, what's going on in me? Because more often than not, we do not see other people and the world as they are, but as we are. If I am all wound up and anxious, the world is a pretty difficult place to be, and I'll want to run away. If I'm living in the past and the way it used to be, I'll miss the present moment. If I'm scared and frightened, other people can easily become threats and enemies. If my life is full of problems, I'll be quick to judge others. If I'm filled with guilt, I'll look for someone to blame. And the list goes on. If I am not awake to and aware of these things, they will overtake my life. Maybe that's what Jesus is getting at in today's gospel when he says, you've got to be awake, alert, and aware. You've got to be on the watch. And he's not talking so much about being watchful and alert to what is going on around us. He's talking about waking up and becoming aware of what is going on inside of us. We can be pretty sure that if we do not tend to what is going on inside of us, we will project it out onto the world and other people. If we do not remain awake and alert, we will sleepwalk our way through this world and our life. Somehow, this awakening and awareness within ourselves does change the way we see the world and other people and ourselves. We see with a clarity and objectivity we did not have before. We are always waking up to the truth. We need to be reminded over and over. That's what the season of Advent, I think, is about. And these triggers for being reminded are as diverse as they are widespread. Last week, after a particularly hard day at work, there were copy machines broken, which continues, by the way, heater repairs that needed attending, and miscommunications that needed attending before they moved on and blossomed or into something unnecessary. I left exhausted for my long drive home to the East Bay. I had my laptop out on my front seat to remind me that I had to get home as quick as possible to finish the work that I had begun that morning and not finished. I knew I would hit traffic and I was really tired. So I stopped by Pete's for a cup of coffee, decaf, just enough to get me home and not keep me up all night. I was wearing my clergy shirt and collar, and there was this man in front of me at the counter. Not in line, he was just standing there. He seemed a bit frazzled and harried. I said hello, but he didn't say anything to me. Picked up my coffee when it was called out, and I noticed that this man walked past me toward the door. When I got to the door, he was there holding it for me. I thanked him, and he walked out with me toward the parking lot. When I reached my car, he turned to me, and he held out his hand, and he said, I really needed to see you today. I just needed to be reminded. Thank you. Now, I don't know why he said that, or what he meant, or of what he was reminded. I hadn't said anything. I hadn't prayed over the coffee. I hadn't done anything of particular significance. I don't know his name, and I don't know what was going on in his life. I can, however, easily imagine and understand that something was awakened in him, within him. Something reconnected in him. And I'm pretty sure that if I had said, I've got some time, let's sit down and talk about what's going on, I would have ruined that moment. That's not what he needed. He already had what he needed. He already had what he needed. You already have what you need. He just needed to be reminded to wake up. Don't we all? As he was getting into his car, I called to him, thanks so much for telling me that, because I also needed to be reminded. We all do. We need to be reminded to wake up, to reconnect to what we already have within. We are marked as Christ's own forever at our baptism. The Holy Spirit animates each and every one of your lives and connects us to the beauty of life, the mystery of love, and the wonder of creation. We need to be connected to that original goodness and beauty that resides in each of us, that has always been there and has never been lost, maybe forgotten, but never lost. We need to be reminded and connected to each other in a deeper way. We need to awaken to hope. We need to be alert to the presence of God in unexpected places and surprising ways. We need to awaken to and be reminded that simple presence often says more than our word and does more than our actions. So let me ask you this. What is the thing you most need to be reminded of today? I'm not asking about your to-do list or your next week's schedule. I'm talking about the one thing that would make a difference in your life today, that would change the way you see yourself, that would change the way you engage with the world, that would change the way you see another, that would change the way you live your relationships. I'm asking about the one thing you need to be reminded of that would awaken and reconnect you in a way that is life-giving for you, another, and the world. You already have what you need, but what is it that will remind you that you have to remain awake, alert, and open to seeing God working in and through you? That moment of peace, when as discouraged and fatigued as I was reminded of my vocation and how blessed I am to be for another, an identifiable Christian, a priest of God's church. The moment awakened and encouraged me. Returning to Trinity the next day, I encountered moment after moment of God's presence in places and people and ministries that have been somewhat dormant for a season, but are now beginning to take on a new life in this new church year. There are too many to blame. There are too many to name. If I'm guilty about something, I'll blame. There are too many to name, but here are three examples. The Sunday school program, which is opening today in a sacred space, came about after a conversation that Wendy and I had when she wondered out loud what she might be called to offer now that she was retired, how she could be God's person. She was reminded of what she has been blessed with to share with others. I think and hope you noticed how sparkling the sanctuary is today. Many hands made that possible over the past week. Begun on Monday when Alfred had arranged for a really deep clean, one that hadn't been done here in years. And then yesterday, a number of saints under the direction of Barbara Addio deep cleaned even more. Each reminded of their hearts to be stewards of this holy space. And in the mindfulness group last week, after noonday prayers, we reminded each other how we are sometimes the only voice of the good news of the gospel to our family and friends who don't call themselves religious, but may have some familiarity with the church and its traditions. And in being so reminded that we were blessed to be a blessing, it led us to wonder about the idea of maybe taking an Advent wreath home to those that are not here with us today. So again, what is the thing you most need to be reminded of? What is that one thing for you today? Just think about it for a minute. What if you took that one thing and carried it ever so lightly through the season of Advent? I don't mean you go on a quest or make this just another task to be accomplished. I mean you take that one thing you need to be reminded of, awakened to, and for me, it was being awakened to the blessing of being a priest in God's church that I might live it 24/7, caller or no caller. What's the one thing you need to awaken to and let it guide your decisions, help choose the words you speak, be the lens through which you see life, others, and yourself? You have what it is? Can you image the possibilities that might it create for you on Christmas Day when Jesus comes? You know, you take it with you today, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whoever you're with, and let it be your doorway, your entrance into Advent. As Jesus says in the final line of the gospel passage, "And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Let us pray. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen.